SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Bets are flying, and we're in gear. It's hour number two of Moneyline. If you want to get involved, you know how to do it. 844-843-6879. JP, get in here. Now, we have a nice segment here. We're going to guess and also reveal where you're going tonight. Is it a Martin Luther King Day NBA game, or is it going to be the highlight of your week, the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? What is it?
Yeah, I'll go to the NFL and I'll go to a prop bet.
Boom. So we're going prop tonight. All right. So let's see right here. It's KW Snickers in the background. Nobody knows why.
Come on, man. New idea. We're going to guess and reveal all in one segment, man, just how we drew it up. It's just so good.
Fit right in perfectly, man.
It's so good.
So prop bet. Now, you hold on, but wait, real quick. JP, you already have a prop bet in this game, right?
I do. I have Chris Godwin over 62.5 I took last week.
All right. Okay. So now we got to double down on props. All right.
What does he need, a cowboy?
You think he's going both sides like that? One on the other? It's a fun way to cheer it on. I do.
Exactly.
I love that. Yeah. No matter who has the football, you got something to get after.
Exactly. I think he likes my bet. You probably heard that Zeke rush attempts catch. Add it to my card. Don't you think?
Is he going? I don't think he's going rushing, right? There's no way he's going to rushing prop.
Didn't we do that once where we were like, he's never bet a rushing prop in his life, and then he came back and bet a rushing prop? JP, what kind of prop is it? I mean, stop the madness.
Touchdown score.
Oh, there we go. Now, look, I know where he should be going, but I don't want to sway him that way. Ooh, you know what? I think I know. What do you got, K-Dub? You think you got a zeroed in on this for him?
I kind of, but I don't like my guess. My guess almost comes off like slander because I don't like this particular bet, but I'll guess Mike Evans.
I'm going to go Dalton Schultz plus 230. JP?
I'm going to go, I'll go Chris Godwin plus 210.
There you go. Yep, exactly. Hey, I think he's going to go the other side so we can go both. I see. I'm just doubling down. Thanks.
Yeah, just add it to the Godwin angle.
Now, JP, do you think they're going to win the game then? Like, if we're going Godwin and Godwin touchdown, is this just a one-off, or you actually think they're going to win this?
No, I think the Cowboys probably pull out a close one, but they cannot cover second receivers. They do not have a second cornerback, so it's just Godwin's going to run around that field. He's going to run amok tonight.
Oh, it's going to be – I can't wait for this game. I mean, that first four or five plays that I get to watch, K-Dub, are going to be sensational. You know what I mean? Might be the only four or five, but we'll see.
No, now hold on. Now hold on.
Like, 'cause I'm fighting it today. Like, I'm going to be medicated up in the afternoon Alka-Seltzers and all this stuff. But I'm telling you, I've really been looking forward to this game. Like, the only true side I bet this weekend, not from a money line, just straight up, let me lay the points and I can't wait to watch it. Like, I'm going to try as hard as I can to stay up all the way through. I really am. Because I'm looking forward to this game a lot. Where was I, Dan?
No.
Yeah, early in the game.
No.
But, see, I watched it all in the morning, but I didn't get to.
I know.
Because it comes quick, but, I was not up. Like, that big fourth quarter play, I was nowhere near that. I woke up in the middle of the night, like, that 1 a.m. It's like, all right, let me go to the bathroom. Well, I got my phone right here. Like, wow, 24-17. I wonder how they won. Oh, did you see that? Like, that was it. That was like watching the game.
Now, this I actually am fascinated in, and I don't care if anybody else isn't. It's only a short amount of time left.
Yeah.
Like, you can wake up and just, like, have functioning thoughts for like 15, 20 minutes and then go back to bed. Like, process like legitimate information, like who won the game, how they won the game.
Yes.
And you're not just like up then. You're just like, all right, back to bed.
I'm right back at it. Like, I'm a melatonin guy too. Like, I'll take a couple melatonin, I'm bang. Like, I don't take naps anymore, Kevin. Used to be the way our schedule was, if anybody, doesn't remember what we would do, 7 to 10 at night, log off, great, see you at 7 a.m. So that meant that you're burning the midnight oil, but once you get done that show, I used to crash down for like 2.5 hours in the middle of the afternoon because we weren't doing radio, and then that's how I would be able to stay up at night. Well, now with the way the shows are structured, it doesn't really make too much sense for me with other things I do to take a nap like in the middle of the day. So I just bite the bullet, but then come like 7 o'clock, I'm in bed. Like, I'm laying in bed at 7 o'clock at night. That's what I do, K Dub. That's my sacrifice. That's sacrifice for the people. Like the people need that show in the morning. That's my sacrifice to you people out there.
Yeah, my sacrifice is I nap in the middle of the day. Sometimes I might nap before Moneyline. Who knows?
Whew. Sometimes on Moneyline.
I might nap during a month. No, let me tell you, I've wondered a couple times if I was going to fall asleep during the show, but never such. I'm here. I'm making it happen.
I mean, my goodness. I mean, there's, like, imagine in a world, like, because I know, like, from a previous life where, like, people would actually email their boss, like, you know, I need to catch a nap for work. What do you think about this, Skip? And I'm like, I don't know if that's going to go over too well. So, word to the wise, don't email your bosses that.
It's a strong move. That transparency goes a long way, man. You'd be surprised. Let me tell you, if I ever fell asleep on this show, I'm pretty sure it'd be the greatest moment of your life. If you could just hear me snoring on the other end of this microphone, no, JP out getting water doesn't cut it, just amps the volume up the whole time, that'd be something.
Yes. Just turn it up all the way. Like, you know, you never know, snoring. You know, you can have a dishwasher going. You can have a dryer going, a washing machine going. You never know. Just, I like the ambiance of the show, right? Like, you need a little background noise. Like, when are we going to do this, K-Dub, where we show up at, like, a local McDonald's? There's, like, a, you know, just we got the setup in there. Live, the Sports Grid Network here at, you know, on Lincoln Pike. It's Kevin and Donnie. Come out and say hello to us on location. Is that going to be coming soon? When's that coming? Maybe not so much here. I don't think Kev wants to go out and do that. I would love it. Put me in a McDonald's. I'm in. Let's get rocking and rolling. Hour number two. We're going to get the prop bets next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, man, having some fun here over the break. Let's get down to some value here, K-Dub. We're going to go over. We're spraying the board right now. We're spraying the board on a lot of good stuff. All right, why don't we start here? Because I got a couple bets in a row. Longest reception is very interesting to me. I lost my crit, which is, you know, exactly the way it's supposed to go. Christian Kirk was over 21.5. Got a good number on that. Thought he might have a couple deep shots. Didn't come to fruition. Covered his passing prop, or going over his reception yards, and scored a touchdown on top of it. And I'm pretty sure, obviously, his catches as well. Just picked the wrong one here. But there are some interesting ones. CeeDee Lamb looks like he's 24.5 across the board. Leonard Fournette, 12.5. Dalton Schultz, tight end for the Cowboys, 15.5. But for the wide receivers, right, it's usually where you're looking at going, right? Gallup, 17.5, looks like the best number. Julio Jones, 12.5. Now, here's an interesting one for me, K-Dub. Chris Godwin's 20.5, okay. Noah Brown, 13.5. Mike Evans, 23.5. Tony Pollard, 11.5. Because you know what that is. That's a screen. If it's a well-blocked screen pass, like usually they are, that's going to get home. But I don't want too many props on him, though.
Yeah, you're a little Pollard loaded. What's your usual process towards getting to the window on a longest reception prop?
I don't, but see, it's good that you asked that because I haven't done it all that much. It's no more than, you know, how good is the defense and does this guy do this? Like, I don't want to be taken like, hey, by the way, Leonard Fournette prop over 12.5. Yeah, he didn't even do that yet this year. Like, well, come on now. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the one with Christian Kirk was, by the price I got, it was 13 of 17 games, Kevin. He actually hit that, but then didn't do it in the playoff game. So the ones like that, like exactly. Give me like 60% of the time he gets that number in a game with a decent total or whatnot or good weather, and then I'll take it.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And that's the thing with some of these numbers. Those are the most frustrating bets, though, to lose tight because the rooting interest in those bets is a bit odd, right? Maybe if you have an under, you're screaming tackle them or, you know, break it up, whatever it might be. Right?
Yeah.
If you have the over, there's only so many plays you're cheering it on, and it's one singular, isolated play. Like, I had my Keenan Allen, not to hyper-focus on it, and it happens, but over 23.5, 23-yard catch. And I'll tell you what made that 10 times worse is friend of the network, Babano, I see firing off a prop card before that game kicks off saying he's got that same bet at 22.5. You know, we always try and get the best of the number. I didn't see that. Babano's been doing this a long time. I know that that's a number Babano
got. Oh, that's tough.
But what killed me is that that number was out there somewhere, and I never saw it. And it's the difference between a winner and a loser.
It is. It is. Because you'll find those discrepancies quite a bit. Longest rush, Kevin, in this game. I guess we can... Rashad White is at 10.5, but good luck on that. The Cowboys, right? Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. Zeke, best number on the board, 12.5 as a longest rush. Pollard, 14.5 across the board.
Okay.
Any thoughts on that? Busting
one. Look at Pollard, right, as the explosive back. Am I crazy, though? Like, doesn't it feel like I haven't seen Tony Pollard in, like, 2 months all of a sudden? Because he basically didn't play in the Tennessee game. What did he play versus Washington?
I believe he did, yes. Yeah.
What'd he do? Anything?
7 carries, 19 yards. Game previous against the Eagles, 9 for 19. Before that, 19 for 75, which, again, is only 3.9 yards per carry, though, for Pollard. That's not. You say 19 for him? What do you go for, 180? Because you figured he's keep like feeding there. But you're right. He had back-to-back 100-yard games against the Bears and the Packers. That was November the 13th. Then since then, 80, 60, 91, 42, 75, 19, and 19.
And what do you make of the fact that all of a sudden what was viewed as like the most efficient running back in football now can't seemingly get loose the way that he was? Because that was the draw to Pollard is, he averages 5 yards per carry. I mean, if he loses, this is, again, a part of the reason I'm on the Zeke number. I don't need Tony Pollard if he's just going to be getting 3 yards a touch. That's not what Pollard's there for.
Yeah, because he had, in the middle stretch of that season, down the stretch, he had Jacksonville, Philadelphia, and Washington to end it. But there was a 6-game stretch, Kevin, where he scored 10 total touchdowns. That was like that heyday, because he was even catching them, like, in the air, like, you know, receptions. Yeah. Scored 2 receiving touchdowns against Minnesota in that 40-3 game, and a lot of those were long. Now, if we're looking at his, take a look at this, though. Explosive Pollard, right? Last 2 games, 8 yards and 5 yards. But before that, Kevin, 21, 18, 30, 13, which is a low, which actually would lose, 20, 14, 54, 28. So he is that home run hitter as a running back on his longest yards, just not in the last 2 games. And again, you do have a decent running defense in Tampa Bay. So those one more, I don't want to say hit or miss, like, you just, I don't know, what's the word I can use? Get lucky if you're going to get that, right?
It's I think what we're kind of trying to say with a number like this is there's plenty of reason to like it, right? I don't think we have the information that tells us, oh, this is an underspot here on this Tony Pollard prop, but it does feel like you're going to be watching this game and he's 6 carries in, and you're like, this guy doesn't look right. I don't just the vibe around Pollard is there was a while where everybody talked about Tony Pollard. Not that just he was better than Zeke, but like this is one of the best running backs in football. It's been a while since we've been having that conversation around Tony Pollard.
Now answer me this one, Kevin. Ready for this? With the passing attempts. We both like Tom Brady. 42.5 it's across the board. 143.5 out there. So basically 42.5. How about this one? 34.5, Dak Prescott. What am I missing on that? Why so low? Because if I look at his props, or his numbers, Washington, 37. Tennessee, 41. Philadelphia, 35. Jacksonville, 30. Houston, 39. So, like, what am I missing?
Yeah, I...
Some running it all night?
Are a little odd to me, though, right? Like, the Washington game's an odd one because they were the way they were trailing, game script's thrown off, right? You can't, you literally cannot run on Tennessee, so of course the numbers had to be big. Birds game, you're right there. Misses it in OT against Jacksonville. That's a little surprising. Houston was weirdly close. I think what I hear, though, as you break it down is if that game is close, it's what you're going to be looking for. But I also think when I'm going through props, it's as much what does Dak do as much as what do they allow on Tampa Bay. How often are the Bucs getting the ball thrown on them 35-plus times maybe a more important question.
All right, passing touchdowns tonight. Tom Brady, obviously both of them are staged at 1.5, just a matter of what price point you're getting at out here.
Yeah, sorry, but there's a boost on Brady for 1.5 on DK if you want plus 100. If you like that bet tonight, which I know we're going to talk about, but just to let people know.
If they're scoring, it's through the air, right? I don't think Tom Brady has a great night, but I just think volume makes it great for props for him, right? There's a chance he can get close to 300 yards. There's a chance that he could throw two touchdown passes, but also be sacked four times, and oh my God, they're getting blown out at this point because they can't run the football. So there's some of that. But passing touchdowns, 1.5 across the board, depending. And again, if you do have an odds boost somewhere, that can be approved. But who do you like? Do you like Dak better at that 1.5 or Tom Brady?
Dak, because I like the team total, right, for Dallas. I have a lot more trust in Dallas tonight. Like, my projected game script is Tom Brady's second touchdown pass coming with 3 minutes left to make it a 10-point game instead of a 17-point game kind of situation. You know, I just don't have – Tampa Bay is not a team I want to trust all that much in the props market. It's why – because he can get there, but it's why I really wanted the 500 and the 4. Like, not just – you know me. I like my 504s because I always like them. Like, legitimate research on this football game had me circling 504, and it's just not available, which is really upsetting to me.
Yeah, Bet365, as you like, for a long time, they were offering team props, like, you know, the Dallas Cowboys get one rushing touchdown minus 200. And it's like, you know, they're no longer available. They haven't been for like 4 weeks. It really breaks my heart, but I hear you on that. Sometimes you just pull it down and say, hey, guys, this one doesn't make sense, and let's call it a day. We're going to get to some quarterback props on how many yards these guys will throw for. Big discrepancies on some of these sports books. Come on back and find out which way Kevin and I are going as we're going to build this props pool. Come on back to Moneyline here on a Monday afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on a Monday afternoon, hour number two. NBA action underway. Boston Celtics 80, Charlotte Hornets 67. Tatum leads away with 27 points for the Celtics. 21 points here for McDaniels for the Hornets. So we'll see how that one plays out, but a nice double-digit lead here for those Boston Celtics as we're going over some prop bets, seeing if we can find some nuggets out here to try to cash in on. Pass yards. Looks like across the board, Tom Brady settling in between 275.5 and 277. Actually, excuse me. There's a 272 at Unibet out there. So there you go. Okay. So nice little five-yard discrepancy. Dak Prescott, he's got a low of 241 and a high of 246.5.
Yeah, legitimate gaps there if you're looking to bet those. I know not everybody has every single sport.
You haven't dipped into those a lot.
You know. If you haven't dipped into what a lot?
The straight-up quarterback number this year.
Like a passing yards?
Like, exactly. Like, I like a touch to over 1.5, you know, stuff like that. Just like, hey, he needs to get over 275 for his prop. I don't think I've even bet one of those this year.
Yeah, I like to get involved with them when I can, if the numbers are right. I yesterday had a really nice live bet, actually, that the number was mind-blowing. But going into the second to last Minnesota Vikings drive, so down 7, about, I don't know, maybe 3 minutes or so left there, right? The live Kirk Cousins passing yards prop was 330.5, and he was at 250. So it was 81 yards he needed. And I went under the number. Just like, he's going to have to chew up all the yards if I can avoid overtime, and it worked out. And that's one thing for me with Tom Brady. Either direction, game script, we'll see what it is. Brady, to me, feels like a guy you're going to be able to get some great live looks at tonight because it just follows the game script so much. Like, I know you like his attempts, for example, right?
Yeah.
They get down big early. Okay, so what? They move the attempts up to 46.5. He's going to throw the ball 50-something times tonight. Those are the kind of shots that I'll be looking for in this game, even after it goes off the board.
Interesting stuff here. We're going to get to next receiving yards. But before I do that, college basketball is playing today also. And just something of note, which, again, if you're not paying all that much attention to college basketball, you're just dipping into like the high majors and the good basketball teams, I get it. But Georgetown lost its 28th straight Big East regular season game. 33 33 straight high major games. Now, Patrick Ewing is the head coach down there. Georgetown, yeah, exactly. Georgetown isn't obviously what it was under, you know, Big John Thompson or even his son at that point or even any realm. You know, even if they could be like middle of the pack, I don't even know how it's feasible. Number one, that he still has a job, talking about Patrick Ewing. Number two, Like, what are the odds on 30, just like basically 33 straight D1 games, like on high majors, means you have, let's just say, the Power 5 conferences, right?
Mm-hmm.
How's that, you didn't stumble into a win at home against DePaul? Like, what is going on here?
Right, plenty of upsets check in throughout college basketball.
Yes!
It's the home of upsets. And by the way, not even just the home of upsets. Like, I was looking at Saturday. There were five unranked teams laying a legitimate number to a ranked opponent, right?
Yes,
so,
yes.
Like, home court advantage just means that much to where, like, not even an upset. Like, you're just laying points somewhere in your game. Now, am I remembering correctly, he went on a little mini run to a Big East title game with Georgetown. Like, that plus, obviously, who he is, for those that maybe don't know, not just like an NBA legend, a legend of that program. Is that just like all the job security in the world? I mean, because that's obviously very damning, what you just listed there.
And also, in the day and age, Kevin, of the portal transfer, you stink last year. Bring in five new kids. You're Patrick Ewing. What are we doing here? But you can't do that?
Did he like, not recruit?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you... At a team, like, because I'm trying to, you know, the worst teams win like three conference games a year, right? What is going on? Like, what, are we basically going on 2 years without like a legitimate win? Like, you're beating, I don't know, Marist or Rider is your big win for the season for Georgetown?
Like, when Vanderbilt couldn't win a game in the SEC.
Correct.
Football, well,
yes.
That's football, right? Like,
yeah.
That occasionally can happen. And but also when that happens, like, guys get fired.
Vanderbilt was never a power either. Like, it's not like you're saying, like, hey, look, they just came up from Division III 3 years ago. Nobody even can pronounce the school's name. They're struggling right now. I get it. But it's Georgetown and Patrick Ewing, like two synonymous names with basketball greatness, and they're horrendous. And he still has a job.
And I think to your point of being Patrick Ewing, you would like to think would have some cachet in terms of recruiting.
Yes. Yeah.
Sadly enough, is there a world that Patrick Ewing's name maybe doesn't hold as much weight in terms of recruiting with kids this day and age, right?
Yes. I mean, apparently so at this point. You figure that he'd be able to reach out and get any big man he wanted. Hey, man, you want to make it to the NBA? Like, you spend 10 minutes with me, like, you're there. But obviously, I know the game has changed from Patrick Ewing backing you down in 1986 for the Knicks than what it is today. I get it. But still... Like, he is Georgetown. He went to Georgetown. He's the greatest player to ever come through Georgetown. An NBA Hall of Famer. Like, even like Jerry Stackhouse, you would laugh at him before, like Vanderbilt. At least he was winning games.
Right. Yeah, no. And that's the, again, it's not like, we've seen a lot of these NBA guys not be able to cut it. Like, not really. Penny Hardaway, for all the sanctions and disappointments at Memphis, has gone out there and kind of found some footing. And
Juwan Howard.
Like, Avery Johnson lasted in Alabama for a while. You're right. There's no reason. But also, like, I've heard a lot of Syracuse alumni, and it's not apples to apples, but saying, man, it's probably time for Boeheim to go. You going to fire Jim Boeheim?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't.
Like, did Syracuse even have a basketball program? What was Boeheim coaching to, like, the late 70s? I mean, think about that. That's all anybody knows up there is Boeheim. Like, hey, let's get rid of this guy. And, yeah, what actually would happen at this point? All right. Receiving props for tonight. CeeDee Lamb, anywhere between 71.5, Kevin, all the way up to 75.5. Any thoughts on CeeDee Lamb getting nuts tonight?
I like CeeDee Lamb. I think he has a big game. Admittedly, though, I now might just kind of take the cheap way out and get involved with that great Brandon Marshall boost where I, because like you said, right? I don't need a 15-play prop card tonight.
Nope.
Mostly, my big game was Seattle, San Fran, just a lot of stuff that made sense and that worked out well. But other than that, it's been, you know, about three bets probably in some of these games, maybe a fourth, you know, something live. And I've already got a couple situations in. Adding that boost looks nice, but I don't know if I need to climb the ladder and have, you know, Dak yards, CD yards, touchdowns, and everything in between.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you here. Let's keep moving down the list. By the way, who would be your wide receiver prop guy for the Dallas Cowboys? Like, who?
I do like CD.
Would it be CD?
Yeah, I feel like he's
no secondary options.
Big game player. There's plenty. I know Lisi likes Dalton Schultz. He does usually very well with the tight end position. If people are interested in
38.5 is the option.
Yeah. And that number's on the move then a little bit too. So people are trying to line that up. We've seen some big tight end games.
Now help me out with
these playoffs already.
Help me out with this. Zeke, 6.5?
Catching?
Yeah, in a playoff game?
I think he's only been getting like one catch a game. look, I'm just going to – I know that sometimes, like, look, that's one catch and he goes, but I would – is his reception prop 1.5 with maybe, like, plus money to the over? But I'm saying to give it that kind of perspective of what kind of workload they see from him tonight.
Yeah, let me see what actually Zeke's been doing there from a yeah, it looks like 2 targets, no catches, no targets, 1 catch, 2 catch, 3 catch, 3 catch, 1 catch, 1. So the volume isn't there. So then if you flip it over to the opposite side and you say Tony Pollard, he is at a low of 20.5 at that point because he's more of that let me catch a screen. But that was the one I would say I would instead of taking the over 20, if he gets 21.5, there's a really good chance it's not 4 catches for 21 yards, which means you probably had 1 catch for like 19. I would take that over at that before I do that.
With the he's
I would take the longest as opposed to the just the totality of it all. Yeah,
I see what you're saying. Yeah, it can be a struggle though with Pollard because you said the longest is what we need a 12-yard catch.
I think it was 12. Yeah, I think it was 12.5.
My point then is so that means he needs to find 9 other yards.
Yeah,
you would think he does. Like there, it's very correlated, right? Odds are, if you like one, you like the other. Almost, I would say.
Correct. All right. Rushing attempts tonight. I know you like this. Rashad White's low is 9.5. Leonard Fournette's low, 9.5. Ezekiel Elliott's low, 12.5. Tony Pollard's low, 11.5.
Yeah, I'm on the Zeke number. I put research into it, but I don't think I really need to say anything more than he's done this in 13 of 15 football games. I really don't. The Pollard number at 11.5 shows that they see this as still a clean split. Well, that's fine because all these overs that Zeke had was when Pollard was at his peak during the clean split. And I think maybe Pollard's left some breathing room all of a sudden on the card there for Ezekiel Elliott to get even more work. This Zeke number makes sense. I think they win the game. I think you can run more on Tampa Bay. But also, I love, as we talk about in terms of sometimes receptions versus receiving yards, I much prefer Zeke attempts to yardage because we have seen Tampa Bay occasionally have his number specifically, Donnie, and him not be able to really get loose against them, and I don't want any part of that.
By the way, just looking at overall run defenses ranked, according to Pro Football Focus, Dallas Cowboys 21st, Tampa Bay 23rd, and why I'm bringing that up here are the rushing props for tonight. Rashad White is 33.5 as a low. Leonard Fournette's low across the board, and it looks like it is 36.5, and as high as 40.5. Any thoughts on the running game here for the Tampa Bay Bucs? It's hard to trust it, but that's not a lot of yards. Like, we're not looking at 62.5. Like, it's somebody might have one run at 19 yards, and off you go at this point.
What's very – Tampa's is Tampa's backfield is one I really can't get involved with because – it's like playoff Lenny. Do they lean on Fournette? But also, man, it's not that long ago Fournette was basically like, yeah, I'm injured as all get out and shouldn't even be playing. Like, so how am I betting on that guy?
Leave me alone. Both my feet don't work, pal. What do you want me to do out here? Well, that's not a great way to get after it. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline right on the grid on a Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, getting after it in the NBA and also NFL tonight. You guessed it. So we do on Moneyline. Boston Celtics, K-Dub, 92. Charlotte Hornets, 82. Third quarter. So some nice scoring here. Jason Tatum leads the way with 33 points. McDaniels with 23 for the Charlotte Hornets. 3-point shots, ball 3 made, and Tatum 3 made. So if you did have that odds boost, you cashed in that ticket to start your day right off the bat. Phone lines, 844-843-6879. Red Tails on the phone. He's ready to go here on a Monday. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, JP said that Lewis was missing me, so I had to call in.
Yeah.
Just FYI. Moose needs to get off the Bengals bandwagon. I mean, you can't be a Browns fan and root for them, although I do love the Bengals catching 4. But anyway, having said that, tonight's game, I've got, I think I've, I'm going back and forth in this game. I think I got two nice wagers. First half under 22.5.
Uh-huh.
And I told JP, I'm going back to one of his old school picks. I'm going Dallas first half, Tampa Bay to win at +850.
Whoa. Matching it up. So one of those typical late Tom Brady comebacks in your mind here, Red Tail.
Yeah. Yeah, 13-3 halftime. You know, then Dallas beats Dallas. Give Brady the ball under 5 minutes. He scores a touchdown and a field goal. And I can see that happening. +850, I think that's worth $20.
What's
that, back pick?
No, it's not a bad pick. All of a sudden, he entered a wind tunnel. Look, I was saying, to be fair to Red Tail, that's kind of what Brady's been doing all year long. Like, as bad as you think they are, right, and you're going to lay the 2.5 DRS,
yeah.
You have no interest in Brady getting the ball back, Cowboys up 4 with 2 minutes left, right? You want this game to be way out of reach by the time that fourth quarter rolls around.
Yeah, or 24-24, Dallas with the football with 1.5 minutes to go midfield, right? We need a field goal to knock this one down. But here's the way you want it to play out. And then we're getting into the fourth quarter. Dallas has a touchdown lead, right? That's where it is. And or of course you would want it to be 27-0, but I don't think you're gonna get that.
Yeah.
You think this game goes over? You think this goes over?
I think it's more of a chance to go over than stay under, if that makes sense. I'm not in love with it, though.
Man, I
got the Cowboys team. There's some strange forces out there in the world, though, working on this.
Uh-oh.
Man, I love you guys, but I just cannot. I think this breaks that over trend, man. I think both teams are ugly. And I don't know. I just think prime time, Dak sucks. I have no faith in him whatsoever. I've got no faith in Tom Brady in the first half, but in the game, I think he pulls it out.
Pick sixes on the agenda. We'll see. We'll see how it turns out tonight, but we'll certainly be watching and rooting. See, this is where it goes back to fandom, too, Kevin. You know what I love this weekend? Moneyline, Giants. Cheered it on all day long. You know what I bet? Saquon to score a touchdown, and also Daniel Jones. Don't like the Giants at all. My favorite bet of this entire Super Wild Card weekend, the Dallas Cowboys. I'll be cheering like I'm like their biggest fan tonight. Right. Who said, I could never do I hate those two. So what? Tonight I will be cheering as if I was born a Cowboys fan. How about that?
I'm sure you will. If Dallas wins, by the way,
and
75% of the available seats in the NFC divisional round belong to the NFC East, are we still going to have to hear about who did the Eagles play?
Yes, you will. Absolutely.
We'd have to look this up. There's no way you would remember it off the top of your head, but there's no way that's ever happened, right? Three of the four teams in a division made the divisional round? No way.
No, because even because the playoffs were also shorter. Like, only six teams got in, with the second wild card. Now there's seven, so there's a chance. It's still wild that it actually happened. It's not supposed to, because you figure you're playing good competition and beating each other up all year, and somebody else gets to skate and makes it into the playoffs. It is pretty wild. And also, Washington was on the doorstep of getting in there. If they could have beat a dead-in-the-water Cleveland team, aren't they? They're in. Wow.
Crazy. Would have been crazy. And I don't think they would have gave the Niners a run. But, imagine if just the whole round was just the NFC East Invitational, which would have been crazy. Let me ask you this quickly, because you know how all week long or last week you were talking about, I think Baltimore could maybe, but, you hope not. So you would get this Bills-Bengals game we're going to get. Do you feel that either of these teams can give the Niners a legitimate run next round?
Tampa can't. Again, you talk about target shots, which, again, Don, you were wrong anyway, and I would have been, because I thought Dallas would beat them. But I just think you ramp it up, and don't give me, oh, you go. Here's the narrative next week, right? Oh, man, Tom Brady loved 49ers all his life. Always wanted to be a 49er. You know what I mean? I'll be exhausted by the time the game gets there. But if you're talking about, you want to line up one football team that Tom Brady would get his head smashed in, as opposed to the Dallas Cowboys have a great pay, that team would just annihilate him.
It wasn't that long. It was 35-7, right? The game was a complete disaster.
It's just the worst matchup for the Tampa Bay Tampa Bay would be the 49ers.
Basically, what happened for Tampa Bay is I think they played the one elite team that they can actually beat because Dallas has this ability to find their floor because of Dak's turnover problems. Like, mm-hmm. the Cowboys absolutely can beat the Niners. I probably won't pick them to if they do meet in the next round. It'll depend a lot on how this game obviously plays out tonight, but Dallas is that team. One game playoff, they have the ability to beat the Buffalo Bills and lose to the Chicago Bears. Like that, like that's mm-hmm. who they are.
Yeah, no, it's there is talent, and we'll see if it, you know, comes away. But I know you from a watching standpoint. I heard you babbling all last week, like, "Oh my God, we have to face the Cowboys." As an Eagles fan, I can't deal with it. I wasn't worried at all, but now it seems like you're ready to skate on bottom Giants. Which, again, probably is the best outcome for the Eagles overall from any team, to be honest.
It's not even a question. It's the best. It's the single best outcome you could imagine. They're markedly better than this football team. And, I think the Eagles would have beat Dallas, but I thought that Dallas was the biggest threat to them in the NFC. I really did believe that. And if they play Dallas, it'll be an NFC championship game, and we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I've long said I don't think the Cowboys have the consistency that it takes to make the Super Bowl and play three good enough games to actually get there. I think they're now in a phenomenal position, the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, a lot of the Daniel Jones resurgence. Donna, did he light up the Commanders in the win and the tie? No. You know what he did? He lit up the Vikings and the Colts, and you have to play who's in front of you. But I'm just saying, I still have my questions that Daniel Jones is going to go in there and go blow for blow for Jalen Hurts, who's about to win an MVP award if he stayed healthy.
Yeah, the number one sack artist is going to have a say in that, full gas. Let me tell you something. If the Eagles go into the playoffs, let's say every team stays healthy, right? Lane Johnson's okay. Avante Maddox comes back in the slot. The Eagles are winning the Super Bowl. They're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't hear anything about the Niners or anything, because when you have the best pass rush in football, followed by the best secondary in football, and that offense humming, like, how do you beat them? And they're home? Like, I do. Yeah. I understand where people are upset. Oh, the Niners are very good. Nobody's saying they're not. But the Eagles are better than the 49ers. They're just better. If they go talent for talent, they both get there, Kevin, healthy in the NFC Championship game, and it's in Philadelphia, the Eagles aren't losing that game. They're not.
I absolutely don't think they are. Again, I think, you know, it's kind of funny because that question, how do you beat them? Well, the answer for everyone they played was you don't. They lost once in 14 games or 15 games with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
14-1 with their starting quarterback this year. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. I know you're going to tell the Niners are unbeaten with Purdy. And again, I get that. But Purdy in Philly or Jalen Hurts in Philly? I mean, that's just kind of what it could boil down to. We'll see if the Niners get there, though. We'll see if the Niners get there. Again, they ended up dominating Seattle, but that was a game they were losing at the break.
Yes, exactly. All right. Game specials tonight, K-Dub. Quick breeze through. Any interest in the combined three touchdown market? Zeke, Fournette, CD, and Mike.
It's a nice one. It is. I don't know if I'll be on it, but we've talked so much, like Zeke's getting in already, and we know he has two touchdown capability. CD and Evans are absolutely live, and I mean Fournette is the guy that you would want, right? So it's a nice payout too, like +210. It's pretty interesting that that's now become available at a good number, too. Like, we used to not even get, it used to always be four at, like, this same price. It's pretty tempting.
Yeah, it's not bad. But the one for the Niners that I had, which was, if you just give me, like, every option to score a touchdown, which they basically did, that was phenomenal. Like, we expected rain, and that sort of, like, put a damper on it, but it was unbelievable. Football players at every single position and cashed in the first, I think cashed first half, right? In that 49ers game, Christian McCaffrey, Walker, as well as Debo, and who was the Metcalf. DK Metcalf? Yeah, Metcalf on that long. He actually scored twice in that game too, which was, you know, pretty wild. They still got smoked in that one. All right, let's see if we have Dak Prescott, Tom Brady each have one passing touchdown in each half +470.
Big time. I probably won't be. That's your more your range, though. Yeah. Are you getting involved with that?
I don't know. I think there's better ways to approach this. Like, I already have those two touchdown bets in. I have Dallas straight. So, again, I don't want to, you know, 10 bets deep in this one. I'm trying to sort of see like if there's one that really, really sticks out. I'll try to zero in on maybe a receiving prop or a rushing prop a little bit later. But I just want to see if there's anything like top end here. These are ones that sometimes you like. CeeDee Lamb and Mike Evans, 200 yards combined receiving and two or more touchdowns, 8-1.
Yeah, that is tempting, though, because if Mike Evans is still capable of that monster game, right? 115 and a score, and then you need CeeDee to get there. That's a bit tempting. If you're looking to climb the ladder, and again, those are the perfect guys you want. I know people like their Godwin, but when you're getting a bet like that, Godwin to me has, I know they can't cover number twos, right? But it's more like 80 yards for Godwin, and then we'll see if he can find the end zone there. Evans is that climb the ladder guy.
Certainly is here. By the way, Charles Robinson, who a couple hours ago tweeted out on Lamar Jackson, they post, the absence was visible. The silence was loud in the middle of the Ravens. Looks like the Ravens grudgingly went on without Lamar, and now feels like the resolution will be a disillusion. So we'll see if that takes place. That'll be fun to talk about in the offseason, but that's only going to heat up with cryptic tweets as we move forward. The featured markets, Kevin. Opening kickoff to be a touchdown minus touchback, excuse me, minus 165. Tough part about that is some of these kickers launch them 5 yards, 6 yards deep. But that's not a touchback unless the player's like, yeah, I give up on it. Those are the tough ones to gauge because I imagine nothing is worse than slamming one at 6 yards deep and the guy runs it out. You're furious.
Wait, it's a touchback if the guy kicks it like through the back of the end zone?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I thought you just said it wasn't.
No, I'm saying if they kick it like 6 yards into the end zone and the guy returns it, like most would just take a knee or let it hit the ground and walk off. You know, they put that little T formation sign up like it's touchback. That would be infuriating. Minus 165, smoked into the end zone. Do want to be a hero. Takes it out to the 16-yard line and there's a holding call. So you start your drive like the 8 and you lost your bet. Horrible. One segment to go here on a Monday. We're going to give out some picks and get after it. Come on back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment today on Moneyline for a Monday Super Wild Card edition. As Super Wild Card weekend ends tonight with Monday Night Football between the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's time for some picks. It's time to get after it here. And you know, for me, I have both running backs on the Dallas Cowboys, Zeke Elliott and also Pollard, a plus 210 price and a plus 120 price. Both score. It's a party. If one scores, let it be Mr. Pollard. But if just, you know, Zeke Elliott scores, we'll take that as well. So I'll go there in that respect also. Micah Parsons to record a sack and a Dallas Cowboys win is now plus 190 at FanDuel, down from plus 195. I still think it makes a lot of sense. And as Kevin knows, if you have a kid, you get bumped up here, K-Dub. That's where I'm going. JP, let him know.
Yeah, just give me every Godwin prop on the board.
He's Godwin'd up here. Good Godwin. K-Dub, what do you got tonight? Where are you going?
Yeah, Dallas Cowboys team total over 23.5. They've averaged 30 points per game with Dak as their quarterback. They hit this 10 consecutive before losing this number against the Washington Commanders. In that 10 streak, they averaged 35 points per game. And then Ezekiel Elliott, over 12.5 rush attempts, correlated with the fact that I think Dallas does win. He's also hit this in 13 of 15 matchups. Just a ridiculous hit rate to catch this number that I've been able to get it at, which is still out there, by the way, if you want to get involved. So go for it.
All right, just a quick update here. There are a couple NBA games underway. The Boston Celtics 109-101 currently over the Charlotte Hornets with about 6 minutes to go. And in a game that has just started here, well, actually in the first quarter, Indiana Pacers and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks have a 2-point lead over the Pacers. That is without Giannis Antetokounmpo. That line was opened at 11, and by the time we got to game time, some places as low as minus 4.5. But a big night tonight in football, the Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who is going to face the 49ers? Who could be that sacrificial lamb? I'm hoping it is the Dallas Cowboys. Yes! Cash it. -2.5. We're down on that. Touchdown props, receiver props. We went over it all today. Hope you guys had some fun. For JP, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, this was Moneyline. We'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.